private and public power and abuse of executive authority.
Carla Gilbride, before we end, can you describe what happened last week when you and two EEOC commissioners were fired? What happened? What time was it?
So I received the email at around 10:30 p.m. telling me that, you know, again, citing this sort of unbounded authority that the president has to have people that agree with him ideologically serving in his administration, that my services were no longer required. And the email also referred to, again, this concept of gender ideology, this idea that the president wanted to be able to enforce the sex binary, even though, as I mentioned, that's contrary to Supreme Court precedent. And there was also a reference in the email to diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is, as I'm sure your listeners are aware, has just become sort of a boogeyman and a concept that is being used to tar all sorts of efforts, including the efforts of the EEOC to enforce the civil rights laws, which is what I was doing as general counsel, was overseeing litigation to enforce civil rights laws that have been on the books for, you know, 30, in some cases, 60 years.
Carla Gilbride, want to thank you for being with us. Just fired by Trump as general counsel of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Do you like discovering new music and reconnecting with some older but perhaps forgotten favorites? Then look no further. Tune into The Listening Room with host Timothy P. every other Thursday at 3 in the morning for a genre-bending 2.5-hour show where you never know what you might hear next, but you will be sure to be engaged and entertained.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. This month's Development Committee meeting will be held on Tuesday, February 11th at 5:30 p.m. This will be a hybrid meeting. It will be held at the station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found at our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if
support for KBOO comes from KBOO members and Grendel's Coffee Shop, located at East Burnside and 8th Avenue in Portland, featuring coffee, tea, sandwiches, and more. Information at grendelspdx.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Coos County votes against expanding their cooperation with ICE.
The Portland City Council votes to extend the contract for City Administrator Mike Jordan.
And in national news, Oregon Congresswoman Maxine Dexter introduces the Stop Musk Act.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. I'm Josh Salem.
And I'm Luna Winchester. A coastal Oregon county rejects a proposal to require local law enforcement to help federal immigration and customs enforcement, or ICE. The Coos County Commissioners voted down the proposal 2-1. It would have encouraged county law enforcement to help ICE detain and arrest undocumented residents. Oregon sanctuary state laws prohibit law enforcement and government officials from helping ICE unless they have a signed federal warrant. Coos County Sheriff Gabe Fabrizio told the commissioners the proposal would put him and the deputies in a tough spot. They would be breaking state law. They could also lose their statewide public safety certification. Fabrizio said, quote, "Not only could the state agency come down and say, well, you're guilty of kidnapping now because you don't have the authority to pick up that person and bring them to jail, But state courts could say, we're not prosecuting your stuff until you're certified. So we've completely lost our ability to prosecute these cases, or any case, if we lose our certification. End quote. President Trump has directed ICE to deport immigrants, and he has threatened to pull funding from states and cities that don't cooperate. Commissioners Drew Farmer and John Sweet voted against the proposal, and Commissioner Rob Taylor voted yes. Farmer told KGW, quote, if the feds want to make themselves feel useful, they can come help with the decades-long drug crisis, not hassle folks for their papers, end quote.
Oregon school districts have started to react to the Trump administration's immigration directives. Since Oregon is a sanctuary state, government and law enforcement officials are not allowed to give immigration enforcement any information without a federal warrant. Education advocates say the White House's policies are already scaring families and children. Isabel Charlet has more on the story.
Oregon's largest school district has affirmed it will continue to enforce Oregon's sanctuary laws by not providing information to ICE agents at schools and barring them from school buildings without a court order. Some 90,000 documented Oregonians currently live with a family member who is undocumented. Kristen Rao Finkbeiner of Moms Rising says President Donald Trump's directives are causing fear among children and families nationwide, posing serious consequences.
A terrified child in a classroom full of fearful children can't learn or thrive. Creating a climate of fear at schools harms every child. We will demand that our government acts humanely and with compassion.
Rao Finkbeiner says her organization has successfully worked with teachers to defeat book bans, as well as supporting the need for civil and LGBTQ plus rights education in schools. She says this immigration fight will be no different. Advocates also remind people that all children, regardless of immigration status, have the right to equal access to education, which, through the Family and Education Rights and Privacy Act, can not be taken away. Gabby Pacheco with the Dream.us, a national scholarship fund for undocumented students, says children are facing unimaginable stress. She adds the constant threats of raids at schools and the scare tactics being used are horrifying and inhumane, but adds that now is not the time for people to back down.
Immigrants are the easiest group to blame, the last ones to help, and the first to be discarded. We've seen it time and time again, and yet our children, our immigrant children, continue to dream.
President Donald Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, has said that any potential raids on schools would be assessed on a case-by-case basis and determined based on national security or public safety threats. I'm Isabel Charlet, Oregon News Service.
The first flights of detained undocumented immigrants to Guantanamo Bay Prison, notorious for the torture of alleged terrorists held there, are underway. According to reports, roughly half of the people arrested recently in cities such as New York and Chicago have had no criminal records and were guilty only of civil violations of U.S. immigration laws. Law professor Pedro Gerson wrote, quote, Trump intends to build in Guantanamo purposely to reify the same message that propelled him to power. Immigrants are criminals and they are here to hurt you, end quote. The Department of Defense deployed Marines to the U.S. base in Cuba on Sunday to begin expanding detention facilities. Trump wants the Guantanamo prison to be expanded to hold 30,000 people, bigger than the Nazi prisons of Dachau and Treblinka combined. Yael Schaefer, director for the Americas and Europe at Refugees International, said, quote, the Trump administration's use of military plans to send immigrants to detention at Guantanamo Bay epitomizes the administration's gratuitously cruel, illegal, expensive, and burdensome approach to immigration policy. End quote.
Portland's council chambers were full this morning. Concerned members of the public gave testimony on a proposal to extend interim city administrator Michael Jordan's contract to the beginning of 2026. Jordan served as Portland's chief administrative officer from 2022 to 2024. Several of Jordan's colleagues spoke highly of him, highlighting his long-standing experience in government. But those speaking in opposition expressed concerns over Jordan's involvement in approving a new land use permit earlier this week for controversial Texas fossil fuel company Zenith Energy. Zenith transports oil along the Willamette River. The company was recently fined by the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality for illegal construction on land they didn't own or have permits for. The sites are along the Willamette River in the critical energy infrastructure hub. They've been identified as major environmental hazards in the event of a Cascadia subduction zone earthquake. There's been an outcry from Portlanders for years, asking the city to fulfill its promises of a better environmental future. The City of Portland shares stewardship of the Willamette River with Native tribes in the region and is supposed to consult with them on important land use decisions that could impact the river. One testifier was Candace Jimenez, the chair of the Portland Harbor Community Coalition that manages the Portland Harbor Superfund. Jimenez is also a member of the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs and spoke in opposition.
The Willamette River is sacred to indigenous peoples and central to the culture and survival of many tribal nations. My ancestors have lived along these waters since time immemorial, fishing, gathering, and stewarding the land long before industrial pollution made it unsafe. Any decision regarding this river must center the voices of tribal nations through meaningful consultation, not as an afterthought.
The Portland City Council approved the extension of Mike Jordan through January 2026. Previously, Jordan's term was set to end this summer. Mayor Wilson said that he will use the additional time to conduct a nationwide search for a person qualified to take over the city administrator job. Part of Jordan's task in the coming year will be to streamline what council members called a top-heavy organization in the face of budget deficits. The city currently holds $100 million in debt.
First-term Oregon Congresswoman Maxine Dexter from District 3 introduces federal legislation aimed at shielding federal workers from retaliation by Elon Musk. It's called the Stop Musk Act, and it would protect workers who resist illegal efforts made by Elon Musk. Musk recently seized control of the Treasury Department's payment system. That means he has access to sensitive identification and payment information for millions of Americans. Musk has also been a part of Trump's closing down of the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, among other drastic federal actions. Trump is also pushing for federal workers to resign en masse, promising they could get paid through September if they quit this week. Legal experts have called those promises into question. But it's obvious where this idea comes from. Elon Musk adopted a similar tactic when he took over Twitter. The bill protects federal workers who resist, circumvent, or prevent Musk's takeover from retaliation. Dexter said, quote, "The world's richest man should not have the power to unilaterally dismantle the federal government and the critical services it provides Oregonians. Federal employees are at the forefront of fighting Elon Musk's power grab, and we must protect them." End quote.
Multnomah County closed its severe weather shelters earlier today at noon. In total, 325 people used the emergency shelters across the county, at two locations in Portland and one in Gresham. County officials open severe weather shelters when certain weather is forecasted. This can occur when the forecast calls for under 25 degrees overnight, when the weather will be below 32 and raining, or when over an inch of snow is forecast. Last night's opening doesn't fit neatly into any of those categories, but officials say an uptick in emergency room visits related to cold pushed them to act. The Multnomah County Medical Examiner's Office confirmed that one person died of hypothermia in the county on February 2nd. Portland Mayor Keith Wilson indicated there were three deaths in the last few weeks under investigation for potentially being related to exposure to the elements. Emergency weather shelters could be needed later this week, since the forecast has a possibility of snow on Friday.
Trump moves towards dismantling the Department of Education. Observers call relocation of displaced Palestinians to Egypt and Jordan a non-starter, and Idaho lawmakers look to raise barriers to voter initiatives. With more on the story, it's Alex Gonzalez with the 2025 Talks.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Because I told Linda, I hope you do a great job and put yourself out of a job. I want her to put herself out of a job. What I want to do is let the states run schools. I believe strongly in school choice.
President Donald Trump is starting what he says will be the dismantling of the Department of Education, eventually putting his pick to lead the department, former pro wrestling executive Linda McMahon, out of the job she hasn't yet been confirmed for. Although Trump can trim education by executive order, disbanding it would require hard-to-get congressional approval. During a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Trump said the U.S. might take over the Gaza Strip and said Palestinians should be relocated to Egypt or Jordan. Both nations are flatly refusing to take them, and former Israeli Secretary official Charles Freilich says Palestinians won't go.
One of the fundamental tenets of Palestinian nationalism is the concept of staying where we are in the refugee camps, if necessary, until the day that we can return to our homeland.
Trump says the U.S. would take charge of reconstruction in an area devastated by nearly 16 months of intense war. The White House has confirmed the first flights of undocumented migrants to Guantanamo. The U.S. base on the Cuban Bay has housed foreign terrorists, but the administration says it'll be expanded to hold up to 30,000 detainees. Child welfare advocates are raising concerns about the impact of mass migrant arrests on families, especially children forcibly separated from their parents. Angela Saucer with the Public Children's Services Association of Ohio warns that the state's already strained foster system couldn't handle the influx.
In Ohio, at least, we're currently struggling with having available placements for kids coming into care today. To think about a new population, so to speak, coming into our system, we're definitely not ready to address it.
For Black History Month, advocates are pressing for policies that aim to benefit children from all backgrounds. Reverend Starsky Wilson with the Children's Defense Fund says recent executive orders on diversity, equity, and inclusion won't deter them.
There is an arc of history that is longer than a four-year presidential cycle, and there is a vision for our children that is bigger than the White House.
Republican Senator Bill Cassidy cast a decisive committee vote moving Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s nomination as health secretary to the Senate floor. Cassidy may face a tough re-election fight in pro-Trump Louisiana, but he's also a physician who publicly struggled with Kennedy's views on vaccines.
Mr. Kennedy has been insistent that he just wants good science and to ensure safety. But on this topic, the science is good. The science is credible. Vaccines save lives. They are safe. They do not cause autism.
Cassidy cited promises Kennedy made to the committee. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Coast Range Radio. At 6, it's Sojourner Truth Radio. And at 7, The Global Sale. Tonight's weather will be cloudy, with an overnight low of 34 degrees. Tomorrow, those clouds continue, with a daytime high of 44. On this day, 108 years ago, Congress passed the Immigration Act of 1917 over President Woodrow Wilson's veto. The act tried to impose literacy tests on immigrants, thus restricting their passage to America, and it barred immigration from the Asia-Pacific area. The quote of the day is from American statesman Adlai Stevenson, born this day in 1900. Stevenson said, "The tragedy of our day is the climate of fear in which we live, and fear breeds repression. Too often, sinister threats to the Bill of Rights, to freedom of the mind, are concealed under the patriotic cloak of anti-communism."
A Navajo Nation citizen has been nominated by Trump to head up the Bureau of Indian Affairs. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A Navajo Nation citizen has been nominated by President Donald Trump to serve as Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs. The nomination of William Kirkland was sent to the U.S. Senate on Monday, according to the Congressional Database. The Navajo Times reports Kirkland is a political strategist from Georgia who's worked in the state's political landscape. He also served in various positions during the first Trump administration. Kirkland is said to have played a role working with tribes on the issue of missing and murdered indigenous women, helping with the Trump administration's response through Operation Lady Justice. He was honored during a reception at the Navajo Nation Washington office in January, the night before President Trump took office. Kirkland gave brief remarks at the reception. In an audio recording provided by Indians.com, Kirkland said, "Anytime we can get Indian country more involved, whether it's here in Washington or in the states or the inaugural events," he said, "we definitely want to do so." He added, "The White House will continue to have an open door policy with all tribal nations." If confirmed, Kirkland will replace Brian Newland, who resigned at the end of the Biden administration. Just a day after the Acluna Tribe's casino opened to the public near Anchorage, the state of Alaska filed a lawsuit against the federal government that, if successful, could shut it down. The lawsuit claims federal agencies misused their legal authority to allow the gaming operation to go forward. The native village of Acluna opened a small gaming hall to the public on Monday with 85 electronic bingo machines, following years of legal debate over whether it could do so on a native allotment. The state has argued that tribes do not have jurisdiction over its lands in Alaska, but last year the U.S. Interior Department gave the tribe the green light to pursue the gaming hall. Just a few days before Trump was sworn into office, then Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs Brian Nuland gave the tribe final approval for the project. The Chinon Gaming Hall opened in just 4.5 days, made up of trailers that were quickly moved onto the lot. The lawsuit has not affected the gaming hall's operations yet. The tribe's president, Aaron Leggett, says Governor Mike Dunleavy and his attorney general, Trake Taylor, have asked for a court order that could cause enormous damage to the tribe and the community. In a statement, Leggett said, "I am disappointed for my people and my ancestors who have worked diligently for generations to get to this moment." He says the tribe will stand up to the legal challenge because it knows its case is strong. Yellowstone bison from the United States make it to Canada. Wyoming Public Radio's Olivia Wheats has the details.
In recent years, Yellowstone bison have been rehomed to tribes across the U.S. Last week, for the first time, the Bison Conservation Transfer Program sent them to Canada. Shammy Anderson, with the nonprofit Defenders of Wildlife, helped with the transportation logistics. She says 11 bison traveled on a 700-mile route from the Fort Peck tribes in northeastern Montana to a tribal nation in Saskatchewan.
Lots of singing, and the whole community was, you know, yelling and happy and just absolute jubilation. It was really, really remarkable.
Chief Tanya Stone of Mosquito, Grizzly Bear's Head, Lean Man First Nations said in a press release, quote, "These buffalo are coming to us as a family group led by a matriarch. This beautiful gift is deeply meaningful as we collectively rebuild our relationship to them as they teach us perseverance, strength, and determination," end quote. I'm Olivia Wheats at the Center of the West in Cody.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
President Trump signed an executive order today trying to block transgender women and girls from competing in women's sports and directing agencies to withdraw federal funding for any schools that refuse to comply. Trump said, quote, "From now on, women's sports will be only for women," end quote. This directive relies on the Education Department to achieve Trump's goals, even though he has vowed to eliminate that department. Title IX is a 1972 law that prohibits sex discrimination in educational programs that receive federal funding. Under President Biden, the Education Department briefly proposed additional Title IX regulations that would have prohibited blanket bans on transgender athletes. In fact, the Biden administration made discrimination or harassment based on sexual orientation or gender identity a violation of federal civil rights law. Last month, a federal judge vacated that regulation, saying it violated the First Amendment rights of students or staff members who refused to acknowledge transgender identity on moral or religious grounds. Officials then interpreted the ruling as providing a path back using the old Trump standards. Schools that do not follow these new rules can lose federal funding. The change could also compel athletic governing bodies, such as the National Collegiate Athletic Association, to update their policies to comply with the order. NCAA President Charlie Baker said at a congressional hearing last week that he is aware of fewer than 10 transgender athletes who currently compete out of more than 500,000 NCAA players. More than two dozen states already bar transgender athletes from participating in school sports. Critics of proposals to bar transgender athletes have pointed to the harm posed by categorically excluding a group of people from a school activity. They say the tide of misinformation dramatically exaggerates the depth of the controversy. Some of Trump's executive orders concerning gender and diversity and equity policies have already run into legal challenges. On Tuesday, a federal judge issued a temporary restraining order blocking the Bureau of Prisons from housing transgender women with male inmates or from halting medical treatment related to gender transitions.
President Trump's land greed continues with his proposal Tuesday for the U.S. to seize Gaza. He said, quote, "The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too," end quote. and Trump plans to evict all of the current Palestinian residents to Jordan and Egypt. Criticism of Trump's proposal is fairly universal, as this example from German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock. Baerbock said, quote, "The expulsion of the Palestinian civilian population from Gaza would not only be unacceptable and contrary to international law, it would also lead to new suffering and new hatred," end quote. Many are referring to the expulsion of the Palestinians as ethnic cleansing. Even some Republicans expressed reservations, like Senator Lindsey Graham, who said, quote, "I think most South Carolinians would probably not be excited about sending Americans to take over Gaza." But South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace suggested, quote, "Let's turn Gaza into Mar-a-Lago," end quote.
Advocates for sustainable agriculture are calling out two of the nation's newspapers of record for championing factory farming as the only option for America's food system. Eric Galatis reports.
Factory farms make one critical mistake. They both assume there's no other option. That's according to Peter Lehner with Earth Justice. He says industrial agriculture doesn't feed the world, it feeds itself, perpetuating a cycle of overproduction, sickness, and environmental degradation. And U.S. taxpayers foot the bills, sending tens of billions of dollars each year to large corporations.
There are huge numbers of subsidies to the livestock industry. The hamburger that you pay is only a fraction of the true cost as reflected by what taxpayers pay.
The New York Times argued that the crop yields of smaller scale family farms are insufficient to meet the world's daily caloric needs. The Washington Post urged readers to save the planet by not eating free range beef, moving millions of livestock off pastures and into high density operations, where in many cases animals can't even move around, conserves valuable farmland. Lehner says a better way to make more farmland available is to stop growing inefficient crops. For example, it takes 15 pounds of grain to produce 1 pound of beef.
We use almost 60 million acres, an area the size of Indiana and Illinois combined, to produce biofuel, where we could produce the same amount of energy with a couple 100,000 acres of solar panels.
Lehner worries that doubling down on industrial agriculture, which mostly produces commodity crops like corn, soy, and sugar for highly processed foods, ignores other meaningful reforms like reducing waste. One-third of all food produced in the U.S. ends up in landfills.
Let's try to not have taxpayer subsidies for inefficient products. Ensure that we have a food system that produces nutritious food, not one that gets us sick. And we spend $1 trillion a year in our healthcare system because of diet-related disease.
This is Eric Galatis for the Colorado News Connection.
It's been 9 days since unionized New Seasons workers walked out of the Arbor Lodge location after their coworker was fired. Now, 6 Portland New Seasons locations are on an unfair labor practice strike, including Seven Corners, Slabtown, Grant Park, Concordia, and Sellwood. KBOO's John Giacopi first reported from the picket line last week.
The Arbor Lodge location began a strike following the termination of longtime New Seasons employee Randy Foster. Mr. Foster, a 19-year employee, was terminated on the grounds that he violated store policy and state law by working on his lunch break. Mr. Foster does not dispute this fact, but contends he was helping a disabled coworker close their register so they could catch their bus on time.
Allowing my coworker out early was something that was well practiced, not only by me, but other lead cashiers on the front end.
Mr. Foster had been written up the previous month for assisting a coworker in the back of the store while on the clock. Before these two incidents, Mr. Foster maintained a spotless attendance record and had received a number of commendations and awards from New Seasons management. Workers at the Arbor Lodge store voted to strike the day Mr. Foster was terminated and began a picket line that afternoon. Union members from across Portland, including members of the Portland Association of Teachers and the Teamsters, have walked the picket line and led chants demanding Randy's reinstatement.
When one of us gets fired, what do we do?
Get fired up! Get fired up!
The striking workers have pledged to end their strike if Randy Foster is reinstated, but store management has not yet responded to their demands. Randy Foster is the treasurer of the New Seasons Labor Union. Union members allege that store management has historically terminated employees because of their union affiliation and activity, using minor policy violations to justify firing members. Jasper Burns, a union member at the Grant Park location, was fired shortly after Thanksgiving for putting their hands on a customer's car when the customer drove towards the picket line. Union members speaking off the record asserted that Mr. Foster's termination was another example of this tactic. This is the new season's labor union's second strike in 3 months. Contract negotiations between the new season's labor union and new season's owners have dragged on for over 2 years, and the union is urging new season's customers to boycott all new season stores until a collective bargaining agreement is reached. When asked for comment on Randy Foster's termination, new season's management stated that, quote, "As a matter of policy, we do not comment on individual personnel matters, but any suggestion that staffing decisions are influenced by union affiliation or advocacy is unfounded." They added that, quote, "We look forward to our next regularly scheduled collective bargaining session with NSLU and express their desire to, quote, find a resolution that reflects our values and supports our dedicated staff." For KBOO News, I'm John Giacopi in Northeast Portland.
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael has President Trump all figured out in the nick of time.
With Trump's gazillion orders, firings, and proclamations, it's easy to be overwhelmed, confused. What the bleep is going on here? The answer's simple. Everything Trump is doing is aimed at bringing down the federal government. Cut communications, dismiss experienced employees, eliminate entire agencies, piss off our allies and those we've been giving aid to. The government falls and all that's left standing is Donnie, President Vance, Emperor Musk, not born in the U.S. so can't be prez, but maybe the Supreme Court will change that. Maybe they'll nullify the amendment that says no more than 2 terms. Stand up, listen, and speak your mind. Encourage good folks still in power, like our senators, to rail and sue against Donnie's blitzkrieg of illegalities. Unemployment will be going up. Prices and inflation will be going up. Federal funding slashed. How long can Donnie blame it all on Biden and Obama? We, the people, need to share, to act, to defend those we can, to defy those we must. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Anna Wilcox, Dan Raphael, John Giacopi, and Josh Salem. The producer is